know from our study so far that the Holy Spirit of God gave certain gifts to every believer that they might use those gifts to edify the body of Christ so that together the body of Christ might effectively fulfill her commission. Tonight we want to continue to look at some of these gifts in detail. Tonight we want to take a detailed look at those gifts which are used to show compassion, therefore teaching the church of the grace of God and encouraging the body of Christ to live by faith. Those two gifts are found for us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. We find these words, "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Tonight I want us to look at the gifts of giving and the gift of mercy. Let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll consider these two gifts together this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and we do ask and pray that as we come again to the study of these spiritual gifts, these gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit of God, and Lord, each one of us here has been given a gift, that Lord, we would understand the gifts and understand what gifts you have given unto us, that we might demonstrate those gifts, and through the demonstration of those gifts, that we might edify the body of Christ, that we might encourage one another, that we would strengthen each other's faith and be a blessing one to another, that we would therefore go forth in unity of mind and spirit and heart, seeking to fulfill effectively the commission that's been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we ask and pray that you'd give us understanding tonight of these two gifts as we look at them and we consider them tonight. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight again, I want to look at two gifts that I'll call the gifts of compassion, the gift of giving and the gift of mercy. As we begin tonight, I want to start with the gift of giving. Paul, in this passage, Romans chapter 12, I'll remind you, is exhorting the Christians to use their gifts given to them by the Holy Spirit of God for the glory of their Father and also for the good of fellow Christians. I remind you that God has given to us a spiritual gift. Each one of us possesses at least one of these gifts. These gifts were given to every believer that we might live to the glory of God, and that we might live for the good of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and then through that, be a blessing to all the world. The word that we are given here, as we consider the gift of giving, Paul would write and say to those that using this gift of giving, that he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. We're going to define the gift of giving in a moment. But understand that Paul would tell us in verse 8 that those that have been given the gift of giving are to exercise their gift with simplicity. That word simplicity is an interesting word. The word means singleness. It has the idea of sincerity. Paul would write and say to these folks that God had given the gift of giving to, that they are to exercise or use that gift with singleness and sincerity. The idea is that as we give, we are to give in such of a way that we are not self-seeking. Paul wants us to give with a sincerity of heart. That word also carries the idea of generous, or to give liberally. So all those ideas are wrapped up, and Paul would write and say to those with the gift of giving, as you give, you are to give, not seeking your own self, but seeking the good of others and the glory of God. And as you give, give generously, give liberally. As you give, give with simplicity. Therefore, this evening, we want to begin by going over the definition of the gift of giving. And I think it's important that we understand each of these gifts. The gift of giving can be defined as the special ability given to believers, which enables them to contribute their material resources to the work of the Lord with liberality and cheerfulness. The gift of giving is defined as the special ability given to believers, which enables them to contribute their material resources to the work of the Lord with liberality and cheerfulness. Those who possess the gift of giving are willing to give of all of their resources. And let me say that the idea of that term resources is more than just your money. It really speaks of one who is willing to give of their entire self. They're willing to give of their time, they're willing to give of their talents, and they're willing to give of their treasures. But the idea is that one with the gift of giving wants to give themselves for the good of others. Wants to give themselves that glory would be brought to God. They will take all of their resources, everything that God has made available to them and blessed them with, they want to use all of those resources and they want to give. That the work of the Lord would go forward. It's important to understand that the gift of giving has very little to do with the amount of the gift. Instead, it has everything to do with the heart attitude of the giver. And I think that truth needs to be clearly understood. One who has the gift of giving, it is not one who gives the most that necessarily has the gift. Matter of fact, we can go to the New Testament, and you'll be reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ condemned the Pharisees who gave much, did he not? But he praised the widow who gave her mite. She gave all that she had, and she did it with joy. That is the idea of the person with this gift of giving. They give all of their resources, willing to use everything that God has given. And with joy and cheerfulness, they contribute their material possessions to be a help to others. And that God's glory might be seen. The gift of giving. As we have it defined, now let me give to you the application of this gift. When we consider the gift of giving by way of application, there are several key concepts that I think we need to understand together. Because again, there is some who misunderstand very much what this gift is all about. It is not about how much you give. It is the heart attitude behind how you give. But understand a few things with me. Number one, those with the gift of giving have an acute awareness that all that they possess belongs to God and that they are merely stewards of these possessions. If God has given to you the gift of giving, He also has given to you this understanding that everything that you possess is the Lord's. It's not yours. You don't own a thing. The house that you have paid for, that's God's house. The car that you drive, that's God's car. The money in the bank, that's God's money. It's not my money. The clothes that I have, the things in my cupboard, you name it, whatever I possess, it belongs to God. And they understand that what God has done is that He has entrusted to me material possessions. And I am to be a good steward of everything that God has given. Whether it is little or whether it is much, the person with the gift of giving understands that what they have is the Lord's. And God wants them to use everything that they have for His glory and the good of others. I appreciate folks that have that mindset. I think I've shared with you before. I'll share it again. I remember a lady in my wife's home church growing up. They believed that everything that they had was the Lord's. They had a house that sat out in the country at about 40 acres. It was at the end of the lane. There was no one beyond them. And they believed that the house that the Lord had given them in one of the most beautiful locations that you could ever visit wasn't theirs. In fact, it didn't matter when you came through, you were able to stay there. You didn't need a key. The door was always open. The only requirement was this, that when you came, you signed the book and let them know that you had been there. If they were away on vacation, the house was still open and you could come. In their refrigerator, there would be the things that you might need. You didn't have to call in advance. You didn't have to tell them you were coming. If you were a pastor or a missionary or someone traveling through, they believed that house was the Lord's. And they treated it as such. You could never go to their home in which they weren't happy to see you. You ever gone to someone's home and even though you've maybe been invited, it's really not a joy when you walk in. Company. They were always happy. They gave everything that they had. If there was a car sitting there and you needed the keys were there, take it and go. It's okay. That's the Lord's car. It's not mine. If something happens to it, God's going to take care of it. It really doesn't matter. Everything that they had belonged to the Lord. That's the attitude of one with the gift of giving. They realize that God has entrusted them with these possessions. They're but a steward of all that God has given. Number two, those with the gift of giving have faith in the promise that my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Paul wrote that to the church of Philippi. That church of Philippi demonstrated the gift of giving. They gave not out of their excess. They gave out of their own wants. What that means is they didn't necessarily have it. And for them to give it, which means they would go without. But they understood that Paul had a need. And that need was greater to them than the needs that they possess. So we will take that which God has entrusted to us and give it unto Paul. And God will take care of the rest. And Paul would write to them and say, listen, because of your love and your generosity and your gift and your grace that abounds unto me, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. When we have that understanding of that kind of giving, we trust that God will meet our needs if he has told us to give. Those with the gift of giving give with no thought of return. They give with no thought of return. They give of their time. They give of their talents. They give of their treasures. And expect nothing back from anyone. That's the true heart of the one with the gift of giving. You ever had this thought in your mind? We invited so-and-so to our home. We gave them a meal. I wonder when they're going to turn around and do us the favor and invite us to their home. That's not the spirit of giving God's talking about. We give because we love to give. We give because we love God and we love those to whom we give. We give cheerfully. We give with no thought of return. Nothing has to come back to us. We simply give. They give out of a heart of love, not out of a motive of what they will get in return. By the way, can I say this to you? That's one of the main things that made me struggle with the whole concept of faith promise missions. Because so often I would hear it preached this way. You give, and God will give back to you. That is not the heart of giving. I give because the love of Christ constrains me. I give because Jesus Christ died for me. He shed his blood for me. I don't give so that I might get more in return. I never liked that philosophy as I heard it presented so many times. And by the way, I have heard it not just in Faith Promise Giving. I have heard those get up and say things such as this. Your checkbook is your love letter to God. How much do you love Him? And if you will give, God will give you back twice as much as you give. Oh, I hate that kind of stuff. We give because we love. No thought of return. We give for the glory of God. We give for the good of others. Number four, those with the gift of giving will often manage their finances and their lifestyle so that they can give more. There's a heart for them to want to give. If they can cut things out of their own life so that they can give more, they're happy to do so. They will manage their finances and their marriage, their whole lifestyle, so that they could just give more to the Lord and to others. Number five, those with the gift of giving understand that they are to give joyfully without regret. Because the Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. The gift of giving. Willing to use our resources so that others might benefit, so that others might be encouraged in their faith and their walk. When we consider the gift of giving, though, there are some important challenges that must be honestly faced so that the problems of pride and prejudice can be avoided. Let me give you three things that need to be avoided if God has given to you the gift of giving. Number one, those with the gift of giving need to avoid becoming Pharisaical by proclaiming to others how much they give. Sometimes folks just like to let everyone else know what they have done. By the way, that need that needed to be met, that was me. God blessed me in so many wonderful ways. Sometimes we'll do that through means of prayer. I just want to praise the Lord that God has blessed me so much that I could give so much to the church. God bless your heart. We don't need to know. That's not the spirit of giving that God speaks of. Matter of fact, if you were to turn, and we won't turn there tonight, but you go back on your own and you look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And you consider what the Lord Jesus said about giving of the alms. Remember what he said? Do it in secret. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Remember the Pharisee in the Gospel of Luke? Lord, I thank you. I am not like these publicans. I pray twice a day, and I give of my tithes and my offerings. This poor publican, all he does is beat his breast over there. What a fool! Look at me! If God has blessed you and you're able to use those blessings and those material goods for the good of others, give it secretly. We don't need to be patted on the back and we don't need to be praised. We're not supposed to be seeking the praise of men. We're doing it for the glory of God. We're doing it for the good of others. It's always a blessing when someone would come and say, Pastor, can you make sure so-and-so gets this? But I don't want them to know who gave it. Those are blessings and joys. I'm thankful when at times some of you have met needs in my own family's life. Well, we don't want to know who it is, and no one will tell me who did it. I'm thankful for folks that want to just give, and will do it without needing to be praised. If God has blessed you with material possessions, and God has given you this gift to give, then give secretly. Don't become Pharisaical, and let everyone know what's going on. Number two, those with the gift of giving need to avoid being critical of those who cannot give as much as they do. Sometimes folks fall into this trap. We look around. How come so-and-so doesn't give to the special Wednesday night offerings? I give every week. Boy, I was kind of taking notice, and not many people gave to that special offering that we took today, but boy, we sure gave so much. How come they don't give like we give? Well, can I remind you of this truth? God doesn't give to everyone the gift of giving. And God doesn't give to everyone the same resources. And it's not for us to judge. It's for us to use the gift that God has given us. And to use it cheerfully and with joy. So that God's glory might be seen and God's people might be blessed. Again, I'll remind you, God is more concerned with the attitude of the giving, not the amount of the gift. Don't become critical of those who cannot give as much. Number three, those with the gift of giving must be careful to manage their resources so that they're able to meet the needs of their own family. Sometimes one of the abuses of such a gift is that they give and give and give to everyone else and then don't even have the means to meet their own needs. We need to be careful of that. If God has blessed you, sir, with the gift of giving, remember, you still have a responsibility to care for your own family. And you can't give everything away and the family not have their needs met. Dear lady, if God has given you that gift to give, and remember, there are others still, that although you may want to use those gifts in those ways, manage things well. And give is all that God is able to allow you to give. But it's a wonderful gift, and God gives to some a gift of giving. An ability and an understanding and acute awareness that all that I have belongs to God, and He wants me to manage it. And they see the needs, and they're willing to say, you know what, we can live without. And we can give that others might be blessed. The gift of giving, a sign of compassion that the faith of others might be encouraged. Secondly, notice with me the gift of mercy. It's the final gift that Paul mentions in Romans chapter 12. He that showeth mercy, let him do it with cheerfulness. The gift of mercy is given to those that those who are hurting can see personally the grace of God and therefore their faith can be encouraged. As we've done, let me go ahead with the other gifts. Let me go ahead and define the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy is the special gift given to some believers to enable them to feel exceptional empathy and compassion for those who are suffering physically, mentally, or emotionally. And to translate that empathy and compassion into cheerfully done deeds, which reflect the love of Christ. God gives to some a gift of mercy. That individual has a great compassion and an empathy for people. They see and they understand when others are hurting. And as they see those needs and they see that others are hurting, they practically put into practice that compassion. They cheerfully do things for others that they can take away that pain and show to them the very love of Christ. Not all of us have this gift. And those of us who don't have this gift at times need to surround ourselves with those who do. It was my privilege for 6 years to work with Pastor Griffith. He was here for our couples retreat this last year. Pastor Griffith is a man with a gift of mercy. I am not. And we knew that. And a lot of times he would ask me to do things because he knew he would struggle to do with it in his gift of mercy. But he had a great empathy and compassion for people. It's one of those gifts that I try hard and I wish that I could get more of. God, help me to be a little more gracious and a little more understanding. Help me to be a little more empathetic to those who are hurting. Not everyone has that gift. But a church is blessed when there are those who are given the gift of mercy. That special compassion. As we look at the application of the gift, we see this. The Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount told us that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Every church is blessed when those who have this gift of mercy use it for the enrichment of God's people. All of us go through times of suffering. All of us are hurt. And there is a need for those who can come alongside and help those who are hurting. To use that gift of mercy. I want you to notice several characteristics of, again, those with this gift. Those with the gift of mercy focus on alleviating the sources of pain or discomfort in those who are suffering. If God has given you the gift of mercy, there's a desire within your heart to take away the pain that others are going through. They want to alleviate the source of pain and discomfort. They want to help someone in the midst of their sufferings. Number two, those with the gift of mercy seek to address the needs of those who are lonely and forgotten. Those with this gift of mercy often are a great source of encouragement to those in a hospital, those in the nursing homes, or those who are the shut-ins. I'm thankful for many of you who spend your time and make visits. It's an important part of what we do. It is a demonstration of Christ's love. We need folks who are willing to do that. We have those who are shut in. We have those who at times have been in long hospital stays. You know, there are some, and I've watched over the years some, who just have a great skill when they're in that environment. They just kind of know what to say, and they know how to put someone at ease. I often go in those situations because God's called me to be their pastor, because I love the people who are there. But I'm not going to admit to anyone that that's where my greatest skill set lies, because I don't think it does. I love the people who are there. I go and we seek to minister. But if I'm with someone with the gift of mercy, I am more than happy to sit by quietly and just allow them to minister. I don't need to be heard that day. I'm heard enough. I'm happy to sit and watch. I've watched some of you around here, and I've been there where you have been. And God has given some of you a wonderful gift just to put that person at ease. Because it's hard. If you've ever been in that state where you've been in the hospital for a long period of time, or you've had to see relatives be in that position and you're shut away from everybody else, you know what a blessing it is to have someone come by and just sit with you. I've also been there when there are people who come and I just wish they wouldn't say a word. Thanks for coming. Thanks for visiting. But please don't say anything. And I watch them and they say it and I go, oh, I wish they didn't say that. Because they don't really help, they actually hurt. I remember this summer when I took Joel with me on several visits. He said, can I ask you, what do you say when you walk in? I said, sometimes I don't say anything. Sometimes all I can do is pray and read the scripture. I said, Joel, don't ever feel like you have to have something to say, because sometimes what they need more than anything else is just your presence. They don't necessarily need you to say something. But you know, God gives to some a gift of mercy and a great compassion, and they're able to see and help those who are lonely and forgotten. Those with the gift of mercy express love and grace and dignity for those who face hardships. Often those with the gift of mercy can be good counselors, as they know and share the word of God. Those with the gift of mercy meet the needs of others cheerfully and with delight. They serve others because they have a genuine compassion for them. God gives to some a wonderful gift. As with the previous gifts, there are some pitfalls in the gift of mercy that need to be avoided, so that this gift might truly be a blessing. Can I share some with you? Number one, those with the gift of mercy need to avoid taking up the offenses for others when they see that others have been hurt. Sometimes someone with this compassion will hear of something that happened in someone else's life and they immediately take up defense. That will cause them to go to the other person that they feel has offended, and they will quickly accuse because they don't like this person over here hurting, and so they're taking up what they believe is an offense for somebody else. We ought to be careful there. It's really not our place. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us how we ought to resolve conflicts. If someone has offended a brother, then that person is to go to that individual. We got to be careful that we're not jumping into things that really is none of our business and taking up offense based on what we have heard. By the way, can I remind you of this truth? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the Bible tells us that at times God brings into the life of people suffering, that through the suffering, He might take away from them the dross. That when they are tried, they can become pure gold. God at times has a purpose for us to suffer. Sometimes those with compassion and mercy want to take away all of that pain. That pain which, by the way, God has designed with a purpose. We can help people. We should be there for them. But sometimes we need to understand that God has brought that into their life for a reason. And He wants to do a work through that life. Number two, those with the gift of mercy need to avoid making decisions based upon emotion instead of doctrine and reason. Someone with that much compassion is a person easily moved by emotion. There's nothing wrong, folks, with emotion. But there is a problem when our emotions are what drive our decisions. Because it's easy for us then to be blown about by every wind and doctrine and to drift from where we are to be. We're to stand firm on our foundations that God has given. We're to stand firm upon the Word of God. And although God may give to you a great gift of compassion, we need to be careful that the decisions made are based upon God's Word. That they're based upon good reason and not simply our emotion. You ever made an emotional decision only to later regret it? Probably all of us have. And that's the challenge for those with this gift because of the compassion that they have. Number three, those with the gift of mercy must be careful to be decisive and firm when the time arises. Often those with this gift fear hurting others by being firm and forget that at times an unwillingness to deal properly with issues only leads to more hurt and disappointment. You know, there is a time, folks, when what a brother or sister needs is exhortation and at times rebuke in order to deal with the situation properly. Matter of fact, Paul would even write to Timothy that he was to be instant in season, out of season. He was to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. There is a time and a place for all of those. Just like a prophet needs to be careful to show compassion and mercy, so a man of mercy or a woman of mercy needs to understand that there is a time that they must be decisive. There is a time they must be firm. And they've got to give that counsel according to the Word of God. A failure to do so will lead people to greater hurts and greater disappointments. Again, I'll go back. I was always thankful in my time with Pastor Griffith. If he felt that he just couldn't be firm in a situation, he would get someone who could and say, could you help me with this one? Because I just can't. And that's understandable. But there's a time and a place where we have to do that which is right and stand on that which is right. We ought to always do it lovingly and kindly and graciously. But to those that God has given the gift of mercy, sometimes it's just too hard for them to do so. If you're counseling someone and you have that gift of mercy, it might be that you've got to say, you know what, why don't we go talk with someone else? Let's get another perspective on this matter. Let's see what their view is. And you might need to get a little help so that that person can truly be helped, no longer hurt. You know, God has graciously given to us gifts. These gifts have been given to men that His grace and His compassion might be known not only in the church, but also in the world. These gifts can be greatly used to encourage others in the faith at times when everything around them seems to be falling apart. I'm thankful for those with the gift of mercy. I'm thankful for those with the gifts of giving, willing to use that gift to encourage others. If you and I have been given these gifts, can I encourage you to follow the exhortation of Paul and exercise those gifts in simplicity, not seeking self, but generously and cheerfully give. And with cheerfulness, show mercy and compassion to those who are hurting and those who are in need. I'll say it again to you tonight as we close. Romans chapter 12 tells us that to each and every one of us is given these gifts. All these gifts differing within the body. You might look at these gifts and say, like I can, those aren't the ones that I really possess. They're not the strongest ones in my tool bag. But you know what? There are some within the church that God has given these gifts. And to those with those gifts, we should never despise. If God has given you the gift, can I remind you that these gifts are to be used for God's glory and the good of others? That your fellow Christians would be encouraged and exhorted in their faith. That they would see practically the grace of God and see His goodness and see His love and His compassion, and their faith be strengthened in times where everything else seems to just be falling apart. God has given you gifts that they might be used. We're going to see the last two gifts next week in our study, the gift of teaching and the gift of exhortation. Again, I encourage you, ask the Lord, what gifts have you given me to be used for the body of Christ? That the church might be edified, that it might be established and grow, that we might be able to effectively fulfill the commission given to us by Almighty God. To each and every one, God has given a gift. Let us use it for His honor and glory and for the good of those around us. Shall we pray?